we find this word faith used in three different ways. In three different ways. In Galatians chapter 1, verse number 23, let's turn over there quickly. Just look at these as quickly as possible to keep going here through the message. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 23, we read there, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith." Anybody know who that's talking about?
Paul.
Yes, very good. "Which once he destroyed." This word faith in Galatians chapter 1, 23 is in context of the Christian gospel. And so it's talking about Paul preaching the gospel. The second one that we see is in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 14, which says there that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This second word, faith, that we see in the book of Galatians, it is in the context of how we obtain salvation. So salvation, we know, I think most of us here today know, and it's good to review, salvation is, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. So this word faith here in Galatians 3:14 is that word. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're not saved today, this is the faith that we're talking about here in this verse. Or should I say that God is talking about in Galatians 3:14. Faith comes and is necessary for salvation. Faith in not the church, faith not in the pastor, but faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection. All three of these are crucial when it comes to knowing Christ as Savior. That is the second one. Now, then the third one is the one that we looked at just a few moments ago. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. And we see this word faith here in Galatians 5, 22. This word faith has to do with our faithfulness in living the Christian life. We could say it that way. We could say our faithfulness in fulfilling the Christian duties. By the way, it is not a duty to be saved. So that's not the kind of faith we're talking about. Don't get the cart out of order, right? Get the cart behind the horse. You don't get saved by being a good person. You don't get saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. You don't get saved by giving a tithe and the offering or giving to missions. Those are all things that would come after salvation. We would call those works. We would call those, as I said a moment ago, the Christian duties that come following salvation. We could say it this way. My faith ought to be producing faithfulness. Think about that. My faith ought to be producing faithfulness. Now again, remember, these are called the fruit of the who? The Spirit. I cannot manufacture faithfulness in my life. It is impossible. The same way that I cannot manufacture love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. This is the seventh one, and it's faithfulness. It cannot be produced by you. It cannot be produced by me. It can only be produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Here's a quote I found. "Faithfulness is doing my duty until my duty is done." Faithfulness is doing my duty until my duty is done. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. So, basically, the message today, this word faith, is having to do with our faithfulness as a Christian. Not to become a Christian, but because we are a Christian. And so I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will challenge each and every one of us in this area. And by the way, there is no one here today that can leave here and say, there's no way I can be faithful unless you have not even saved yet. If you're not saved, you can't have the fruit of faithfulness until you get saved. But if you're a Christian today and you know the Lord as your Savior, every one us that claim to be Christians, we have the ability, through the Holy Spirit of God, to be faithful in every area of our life. And every one of us today have areas of life, and God deserves for you and for me to be faithful in those areas. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So consider Christ Jesus. Who was what?
Faithful.
He was faithful. So today we have an example of faithfulness. It's not the person beside you, behind you, in front of you. It's not the one speaking right now. Our example of faithfulness is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Notice it says, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. God sent Jesus Christ to do several things. That's not the message today, but we know that he fulfilled everything that his Father sent for him to do. He was faithful. This, my friends, is the type of faithfulness that we need in Anchor Baptist Church. This is the type of faithfulness that you need in your home. This is the type of faithfulness that you need in the place where you work. By the way, this isn't just about in the church realm, if you will, but we have an opportunity, and we should be faithful even, and we'll talk about it, getting way ahead of myself, faithful even in that place of employment. William Carey, a great missionary to the country of India, wrote this, "Pray for us that we may be faithful to the end." Pray for us that we might be faithful to the end. You're saved and on your way to heaven. Praise God for that. By the way, praise God for that.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, the devil wants to keep you, the devil wants to keep me from being faithful. The devil wants every area of my life, he wants me to be unfaithful. He wants me to be lazy. Yes? Lazy. He wants me to neglect the Word of God. He wants me to neglect prayer. He wants me to neglect everything that I know as a child of God that I should be involved in. The devil wants me to neglect it and be unfaithful because he knows what will happen in that case. Today, my challenge to myself and my challenge to us today is this. Examine yourself through the Word of God and determine to be more faithful than you are today. My challenge is not for you to look at your husband and say, "You're not very faithful." That's not going to work too well. And I don't mean that in the sense of a husband and wife relationship either, although that is obviously very much taught in the Word of God. But it's not our job to examine our neighbor and say, "Boy, you haven't been very faithful. You know, I haven't seen you around here the last few weeks. Where have you been?" No, we're to be looking at the Word of God and examining each and every area of our life and see where it is that we haven't been very faithful. Today, would you please examine your faithfulness by the standard of God's Word? Would you please examine your faithfulness with the example of our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, it would be easy today for me to compare, possibly, or you to compare your faithfulness to another brother or sister. But we know what the Bible says about that. The Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, if you care to turn over there quickly, you can read it with me. But I think most of you know what it says, or at least partially what it says about comparing ourselves. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves." In other words, I'm going to measure my faithfulness by Brother Ramon's. Let's see, if I look at his faithfulness and my faithfulness, he may be able to look at mine and say, "I'm going to be more faithful than you, Pastor." But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not to measure ourselves among ourselves, and then he says, comparing themselves among themselves. So if that's how we look at faithfulness, the Apostle Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we're not wise. And so today, let's not look at anyone else's record. Let's realize today that possibly you, or possibly even myself too, we need to be more faithful. Possibly today you already know that you already know, as soon as you heard that faithfulness had to do with the idea of your Christian responsibility, the Holy Spirit of God immediately said, faithfulness. It's not what it ought to be. By the way, praise God, if you can come to that, if I come to that in areas of my life today, then we would be humble enough to admit that. Because that's when God can begin to create in us the faithfulness through the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants in your life and wants in my life. If we can come to the conclusion that yes, there are some areas in my life where my faithfulness has increased, but unfortunately there's a couple of areas where my faithfulness has decreased. And I want God to help me in that area. He will. We could come to the conclusion today that faithfulness has faded away, and for some, faithfulness has even died. Can I submit to you this? Faithfulness has not died. Faithfulness has been displaced. It doesn't matter who you are today in this crowd. Everyone here is faithful. You're faithful to what you choose or who you choose to be faithful. So I submit to you that faithfulness is not a lost cause in the church. It is just misplaced sometimes. Right? We will go and do and be and watch and read and see and do all that we want to do. So we are faithful. We are faithful people. I mean, if there's a way that I could somehow, and you could somehow see my entire 168 hours of my week, and I could see yours, we would probably find out, Miss Dee Dee, that in our lives, we're faithful to some things every day. Hopefully on that list is brushing your teeth. Hopefully you're faithful to that. Amen? Amen. Your wife right there was supposed to say, amen, Pastor. We would see faithful. I'm not talking about if there was a way to write down everything that we do. You follow me? We are faithful people. And I have to admit today, including I'm putting myself in this, that many times the faithfulness is misplaced. The faithfulness is going to the wrong person. It's going in the wrong area. You see, God deserves my best. God deserves my best. And so, let God's Spirit today challenge us. I wrote this down. The problem with my faithfulness is not the lack of it, but the object of it. The problem with my faithfulness is not the lack of it. The problem is the object of it. Somebody gets Ben Turner's faithfulness every day. And you know what? Many times, can I tell you who it is? Me. Me. I get my faithfulness. I determine what I'm going to do. I determine what I'm going to read. I determine what I'm going to say. I determine everything. And that's not right. Yeah. I'm not supposed to be living a faithful life based on my will, am I? Huh? Are we? No. My life, Lord, is yours to control.
Amen.
The object of my faithfulness cannot be me. The object of my faithfulness must be Him. And if something that I'm faithful to contradicts something in His Word, then I better quit being faithful to that something. Or someone. Sometimes it could be a friend. A friend that it is pulling us away from church or pulling us away from the Lord. And may God give us wisdom and discernment in that. I'm not saying call all your friends today and tell them you never want to see them again. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying we need to use some discernment because, again, everybody in the room, from me all the way up to all the way to the back, from that, we are faithful people. But what's the object of our faithfulness? Let's look at an outline and see some things about this thought today of faithfulness. Number one, we see the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter number 10. We should be close by there if we were in that last verse. Hebrews chapter number 10, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. We see letter A, that He is faithful in His attributes. He is faithful in His attributes. Hebrews 10, 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast. That's not Hebrews. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Who promised? God promised. He's faithful. When God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. He is faithful in His attributes. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, close by there. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged Him, that's God, faithful, who had what? Promised. When God promises something, it is going to happen. He is faithful. Faithful in His attributes. Underneath this, and faithful in His attributes, we see, and praise God for this, He is faithful during temptation. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He is faithful during temptation. We were talking a little bit about temptation in the college and career class this afternoon. By the way, temptation is not a sin. You and I, we are going to be tempted. It's going to happen. But we don't have to yield to the temptation. We don't have to give place to the devil either as well. Allowing other temptation to come into our life. Walking right into it, if you will. He's faithful during temptation. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. In other words, you know, we can't look at our life and think, man, I'm the only one that's ever endured this. No, others have been tempted the same way. Others have gone down the challenging road that you're on right now, maybe. But I love what it says, the next several words, after the conjunction, but. And I've underlined these next three words, and this will help you. It says, God is faithful. If you underline words in your Bible, underline those three words. God is faithful. Circle them. In the context here that God is faithful, while He's faithful, generally speaking, yes. But the context of this verse is that God is faithful during temptation. God is faithful in the difficult hours. God is faithful when you lose a job. God is faithful when someone dies in your family. God is faithful when you lose your health. God is faithful, period, end of sentence. God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. This is how He shows His faithfulness. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to, what's the word?
Escape.
He will make a way to give you victory. He will make a way to give me victory. He will make a way to help me to avoid sinning. The temptation comes. It's right there. He allows the temptation to come. Right? God's sovereign, right? So God allows the temptation to come, but He doesn't leave me on that deserted island and say, okay, Ben, you're over here on this is your island for the week. I hope you can handle the temptations that are on your island. I'll see you next week. No, He's with me. If I'm on an island and I'm by myself, which I'm not, He's on that island with me. He's in that situation with me. He's in that company with me. He's in the school with me. He's everywhere with me. And He's saying here in the Word of God, Christian, I am faithful to help when temptation comes. I am faithful to help when difficulties come. We have a faithful God, the faithfulness of God. He is faithful during temptation. Number two, I've already really talked about this. He is faithful during trials. He is faithful during trials. Turn to Psalm 119. Letter B, He is faithful in His Word. The faithfulness of God, faithful in His attributes. We could preach a whole message on the faithfulness of God and His attributes. We could preach a whole message on the faithfulness of God and His Word, even. Psalm 119, 86. We start with the faithfulness of God, obviously, because He is our example. And because He is faithful and He has given us the Holy Spirit of God at salvation, we too can be faithful. Faithfulness in His Word. Psalm 119, 86. The Bible says, "All Thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help Thou me." Verse 89. "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." The Word of God, He is faithful in His Word. Think about the time that you spent last week in the Word of God. If you sleep 7 hours a day, 6 hours a day, that means you have about 18 waking hours a day. 18 hours a day that you're awake. I don't know how many that equates to being awake, but not 168 because you're sleeping. You're sleeping 42 hours maybe, give or take. I have to ask though, and I want you to think about this. If He's faithful in His Word, shouldn't we be faithful in His Word? If He's faithful in His Word, shouldn't we be faithful to His Word? I came across a very sad statistic. And it is a statistic. I understand there's probably error a little bit either side, but even if there's a little bit either side, Lifeway Research came out with a statistic some time ago that said that only 19% of churchgoers read their Bibles every day. You know what? That's 1 out of 5. That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, you didn't read your Bible. I'm just kidding. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, think about that. Only one did read his Bible. I said that right. I did that right. He read his Bible, and all of you didn't. Sorry, please. Yeah. Threw my wife and daughter under the bus. A couple other nice things. Yeah, that means every 5, only one person. I hope that's not the statistics of Anchor Baptist Church. And again, I don't know who they were interviewing, but even if that's off half, that's still terrible. Even if it's 2 out of 5, that's horrendous. Because we wave that book and say it's God's Word, but how faithful are we to be in it? Remember, you're faithful, and I'm faithful every day. But what is the object of our faithfulness? I must say, if we're too busy to read God's Word, then we're too busy.
Amen.
Something's not right. Something's wrong with my priorities. And I'm speaking to the leaders of the church. I'm not saying that in a positional manner. I'm speaking to that humbly here and respectfully to those that are of age. I'm not talking to the kids. They're downstairs. They need to see us as leaders putting God's Word where it ought to be.
Amen.
And giving it supremacy and being faithful to it. So we see, number one, the faithfulness of God. Number two, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And number two, we see the fervency of God's people. The fervency of God's people. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, this thing of faithfulness today is not something that we can think about and decide if we're going to be. If you're saved today, it is a requirement. Not from the church, but from God.
Amen.
It's right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. "Moreover, it is required." It is required. It is required. It is required. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And by the way, just so you know, every one of us here today that are saying, we are also a steward. God has given us something, many somethings, that we are to be stewarding over. It does not belong to us, but we are to be maintaining it. We're to be watching over it. We're to be protecting it. We're to be keeping it clean. One of those very main things that God has given us is our body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. See, God gave it to us. We are not our own, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which which are God's. God gave me this body on loan to be a good steward of this body. It is required. The fervency of God's people. Letter A. God requires faithfulness. God requires faithfulness. I don't have it in the outline, but just, yes, God requires me to be faithful with this temple that I have right now. This is the temple. I'm talking about this body. It's not made with hands. It's made by God's hands. And I need to be faithful with this life. And you can say the life, you can say the vapor, whatever you want to call it. It's not mine to use how I see fit. It is not mine to be faithful to what I want. I need to be using this body as a faithful tool to the glory of God.
Amen.
Let's look quickly at some areas where we need to be faithful. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. God requires faithfulness. Number one, faithful in our places of work. I hope that if God has given you work, and you have a place of employment today, and we have a place of employment today, I hope and pray that we as children of God are, if not the most faithful, we're right up there, that we are faithful to the place of employment that God has given us. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." I don't know your boss. You say, my boss might be. You say, you can compare your boss to dictators of past years. The Bible here says, I'm supposed to do things heartily, not because of my boss, but because of my Father. I'm supposed to serve in the place where I work. And I'm not saying lay down and get run over by everybody all the time. But humbly serving in our place of employment and being faithful, not because of my boss, but because of my Father. And again, there may be somebody that you work with that watches and knows. I hope, by the way, I hope our fellow employees know that we're Christians.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
You may be the only Christian they know. I know of one person in particular, our own embarrassing individual, but there is one person in this room right here today. For not one reason, but for a major reason, because of this person's employee who is a Christian who has been a godly witness and testimony to this person for over a year. They're in church today. They trusted Christ as their Savior some time ago. And I believe a lot of that had to do with the fact that their fellow employee was being faithful to the Lord at work. How faithful are you to the Lord at work? Secondly, Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. You may turn there if you like. I don't have time to read all of these. But number two, faithful to our families. Faithful to our families. Ephesians 5, 25. I believe husbands love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Faithful to our families. You know, you start to look at this, okay, God wants me to be faithful to his word. God wants me to be faithful to his word. God expects me to be faithful to my family. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm going to, you know, we went to the pet store the other night in Port Coquitlam. One of the things I like about the pet store is looking at the pets in the pet store. That's all, looking. And I might pet a rat here and there, but they have these little gizmos. I don't know what they are. They look like rats. They look like mice. I don't know what they are. They have fancy names for them now. But they get in those little circle things. I don't know what those things are called. But they get in there and they are running like a cat is going in at 9 o'clock.
A treadwheel.
I learned something. A treadwheel. And they're running as fast as they can. But you know what I noticed? And I'm not trying to be unkind to that little whatever that thing is. They're going nowhere in a hurry. They're in a hurry, but they're not going anywhere. You know, sometimes just thinking about this right now, I need to be faithful here, there. But see, remember, faithfulness is not about you. It's produced in you by the Holy Spirit of God. We can be faithful to everything God wants us to be, every person, everything, every whatever it is, because God will create and God will help us to be faithful. You know, there's no doubt about it. God wants me as a husband to be faithful to the lady 24 plus years ago that I said I might ask to. not just in the matrimony relationship, although he wants me to be faithful to her in that way.
Yes.
But faithful to take care of her, provide for her, and the list goes on and on. He expects my wife to be faithful to me. They're for the very same reasons. Those vows that we made to one another were not first made to one another. They were made to God. Then, by God's grace, we were able to have children. God expects me as a dad to be faithful. Not perfect, faithful. I've never met a perfect dad, have you? I've never met a perfect mom. Close, right? I've never met a perfect mom. I've never met a perfect pastor. I've never met perfect church members. God wants us to be faithful. And God has given us the Holy Spirit of God to be faithful. Faithful to our employers. Faithful to our families. Faithful in our stewardship. Luke 16. Luke 16. The fervency of God's people. It's Dick number 2. Luke 16. Faithful in our stewardship. Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. You know, every time you get paid, and I get paid, it's not my paycheck. That's God's paycheck.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to be a good steward of it. That's unrighteous mammon. Material things. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? God wants us to be faithful in our stewardship. I've been using some of the time that with having a couple of preachers come in, I have been preparing, and I'm just asking the Lord when to preach the messages, but I've been preparing. I have probably 2 so far ready to go on biblical stewardship, tithing offerings in the Bible, and the importance of them in the local church. I am so thankful that my father at a very young age sat me down and showed me from the Word of God why every dime of every dollar that I earned belonged to God. And literally, every dime of every dollar. I would get money for my birthday. I think I've mentioned this before. I would get money for my birthday from my grandma or from an aunt or from whoever. I mean, in that day, $10 bill in the offering. Or I'd say in the offering. In a birthday card. One track money. $10 bill in the birthday card. You get it in the mail. You open that thing up, Brother Dickinson. It's $10. Back in the early 80s. Some of you weren't alive yet. A lot of you were. Wow. My dad would say, "Okay, then, how much? $10. Okay, who gets the first dollar?" God. Okay, you gotta get a dollar. Gotta get $1 in the offering. You know, I'm so glad I learned, and again, I am nobody this morning, this afternoon, but I'm so glad I learned how to give God His portion at $10. So that someday when I started to actually earn a living, it wasn't hard to give God hundreds.
Amen.
When the paycheck came. I'm not a wealthy man. By the way, to me, the tenth is just basically elementary obedience. Mm-hmm. It's not even giving. We don't give the tithe and pay. Because it's God's. So, possibly today, your stewardship is lacking faithfulness. There are many Christians today that tip God very well. When the offering plate comes by, we drop in a $10 bill. And we give God a tip. If we're giving more to the waitress for our meal than we are in the offering, something's wrong.
Amen.
Oh, it's time to quit, Pastor. Just go. By the way, by not preparing these messages sooner, I maybe have robbed you of blessings. Because the Bible tells us He wants to open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessing. Mm-hmm. Who do you want paying the bills? Your company or God? I told our college class this: if you lost all your source of income tomorrow morning, if every source of income dried up, what would you do? See, if you've got a connection with God, it wouldn't matter. Because God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God said, I will not let the righteous to be forsaken or deceived begging bread. So faithfulness in our stewardship is vital. By the way, I'm not after your money. God will get it one way or the other.
Amen.
Amen. That's funny, but it's not funny. Because He will devour it one way or the other. Why don't you rebuke the devourer? If you don't know about that, read Malachi 3. He will devour it one way or the other. The devourer is there. Why not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? God says be faithful in our stewardship. Number four, Hebrews 10:25. God says to be faithful in our church attendance. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, we do not find the word faithfulness in Hebrews 10:25. In Hebrews 10:25, we read about church attendance, but even more than that, we read about faithfulness. Without even saying the word faithfulness, this word, this verse exemplifies this important truth. That we want to be found assembling together as we see the end drawing near. So letter number two, we see God, the fervency of God's people. God requires faithfulness. Letter A, letter B, praise the Lord for this thought. God produces faithfulness. God produces faithfulness. Let me come back to that stewardship just one more time. If you're somebody here today, say, Pastor Turner, I've never been in the habit of tithing. I don't even know what you're talking about. If you have an open mind and open heart, more of an open heart to God's Word, I would love to teach you more about it as well. I don't want to sound unkind about it, but I also don't want to ignore parts of the Bible that are there. It's very clear to me, and it's settled in my heart, that God deserves the tithe out of obedience, but then God also deserves an offering out of love for Him. I would just challenge you, start tithing. You get your paycheck, it's $1,000. God should get $100. You think I would tell you something to not bring blessing or to harm you in any way? No, by the way, I wouldn't. You get $500, $50 belongs to God. By the way, I encourage you to teach your kids this now when they're getting $10. But when they get that salary, they're already ready to. Faithfulness in being in church. Another thing I'm thankful for my parents, and that is this, that while the church is not perfect, the commandments of God, being faithful to God's Word, God blesses that. God honors that. And when we were growing up, we found ourselves in the house of God. And I'm thankful. God produces faithfulness. Let her be. I must allow the Spirit of God to produce in us the faithfulness that God deserves. One more quickly, number three. Our examination of faithfulness. Our examination of faithfulness. And I'm just going to give you these passages of Scripture for the subpoints. Let's turn one more. 1 Corinthians 4. We were there earlier. 1 Corinthians 4. Our examination of faithfulness. The Bible says in verse 2, as I read earlier, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Our examination of faithfulness. Letter A, just let me give you these because time is up. Letter A, we all have different opportunities. And I challenge you to, I think the verses are up there. Jot those down, Matthew 25, 14 to 21. We all have different opportunities. I believe that's one of the story, the accounts of the talents. Some given five, some given two, some given one. The point here today is not how many talents were you given. The point is, what will we do with what God has given us? Letter B, we will be examined according to our faithfulness. Turn over to this last verse, Matthew 25, 19. Now again, this is not to get into heaven. Remember I said that earlier. We're talking about after we get saved. If you get saved, it's not about your faithfulness. It's about God, His death, burial, and resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ, and putting your faith and trust in Him. Matthew 25, 19. Jesus said there, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That means balance. To reckon means to balance it out. Based on the faithfulness. Based on the works that were done there. Faithfulness is not an easy task. Easy or not, it is a command to walk in the spirit of faithfulness, bringing glory to the Lord. Verse 21 of that same text says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy. I hope today your goal is pleasing God. One way that we can please our God is by determining to be more faithful in whatever area of life God has challenged us.